everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bite-Sized Blessings podcast. I just wanted to revisit why this podcast is in the world. I wanted, during the pandemic, to remind people that life is both mysterious and beautiful, and I thought I would reach out to everyone I knew to see if they had had experiences that they couldn't explain. Well, soon people were coming out of the woodwork with all sorts of stories of magic, of miracles, of things that were totally mysterious. And so I'm so very excited to introduce to you this week another dear friend of mine from my hometown where he teaches art, Chris Hodge. And Chris is completely hilarious. I adore him. He's the bee's knees. Let me read you a little bit about Chris. He's been working on art since he was very young, and he incorporates various symbols and thoughts into his artwork. His body of work has been described as obsessive narrative, articulating his imagination while allowing for the work to take a life of its own. He has the best sense of humor, is a sci-fi fan, and in general, just an incredible human being. I was so very grateful that he agreed and said yes to being on the podcast. And he did say at the end of our interview that he had lots more stories to share. So hopefully in the future, he and I will get together again and create another podcast. At any rate, there will be a link to his website in the episode's show notes. I can't wait to introduce him to you. So here he is, here I am, and another episode of the podcast.
My cousin, who I look as being very young, 33, had passed away earlier in the year. And I was already going through some things. I was already feeling sad about some other like interpersonal things. And like, it really kind of hit me, you know. I'm like, oh my God, what the heck? How can I put it? She's the first of like my generation to pass. They're like my, I don't know how you put it, people group, you know, like she's my cousin. And it was like a real shock. More recently, and I do think that sometimes there's like coincidences, but it's like these events that line up in time have meaning for the people involved. And even though, yeah, it was just this thing, or maybe science could explain this event, or maybe there's like some explanation, right? But it's like it's the fact that it happened when it did, when you were going through what you were going through, and how you interpreted that thing, which is like really what makes it like miraculous, right? And so like my cousin, who I look as being very young, 33, had passed away earlier in the year. And I was already going through some things. I was already feeling sad about some other like interpersonal things. And like, it really kind of hit me, you know. I'm like, oh my God, what the heck? How can I put it? She's the first of like my generation to pass. They're like my, I don't know how you put it, people group, you know, like she's my cousin. And it was like a real shock. And I miss her very much. And it was hard. You know, there were some things that happened there that were also miraculous, but I'm not going to go into like some of the details of that. But I will tell you that after she passed, I started doing this drawing of Jesus. And I just felt it was something that I had started drawing about 10 or 15 years ago. And it just sat like against the wall. and kind of like looked at me like, when are you going to finish me? And I have a lot of drawings like that. You know, I have a lot of ideas I've just kind of left on a wall or left it, you know, put it in a corner. I'm like, someday I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish this idea. You know, I'm going to finish this one. And I had this like whole vision of what it was going to be. It was Jesus as the tree of life. And so it's like, he's on kind of like a crossish kind of thing, but it's really a tree in the drawing, and he has like branches that are like growing out of him, and there's fruit, and it's sort of going back almost like the Garden of Eden, where you have like that, you know, that myth, you know, well, I don't want to say mythical, but like you have the story of the tree of life, and you know how you eat of this tree and like you live forever, right? Like, you know, you elude time at that point. And you know, I do believe that we're going somewhere. And I do believe that Jesus kind of represents this like redemption in ourself that will maybe allow us to experience time like in a very different way, right? You know, it's like you were talking about like how we're creatures of time. Time's very linear for us, but it's like almost like a dimensional thing, you know, like if you were like a two-dimensional being in like a three-dimensional world, you wouldn't experience the world the same way. You know, everything would be shapes. You wouldn't see the form of it. Like you wouldn't see it and really all, you wouldn't really see what it really was. You know, if I had here's a candle. If I put like a candle down and I were two-dimensional, I would go around this like a circle. I'd be like, well, that's a circle. That's round. You know, it's a circle. But really, it's not that. You know, if you experience life in the third dimension, you see it's like a cylinder. It's bigger. I think that's true for time too, where it's that we see it in this very narrow plane. You know, we're only able to experience time in the time that we're in, you know, however long or short that is. And, you know, we learn about history and we might have ideas of the future, but you really only occupy the space, that moment, you know, and that moment's always moving. And then once done, it's done. And it's my belief or my hope that at some point you'll be able to experience time separately, that you'll join that fourth dimension or that other reality where you'll see everything all at once. And so I'm like going through a lot of stuff and I'm drawing this drawing. I found out my cousin had passed. And so I'd already like started drawing the picture. And it just shocked me because I had just looked at like a Facebook post of where she was happy, you know, having like coffee with her daughter and their friends for a birthday. It was at like a coffee shop in Geneva. And it was just so wonderful, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm like happy, you know, like it's nice to see her and her family. And like, and then she died that night. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, it just like just shocked me. It's like I'm looking at a picture of her and I get the email that she had passed and I go back and I'm like looking at this post and I'm like, what? Like, how is this like reality? And I was already going through some stuff and that just like tanked me, you know, and I just felt like I've got to do this drawing. I did put her initials as like one of the fruit in the tree of life. And, you know, I can share these pictures with you like later, you know, so if you want to like have them tagged or put in or however you want to do that. But anyway, so that was rough. I got through like winter break and I was kind of drawing like a lot of sad drawings, you know, just like kind of working through this. And I started this like series of birds. I think you saw them. They were at that art show in Batavia. And that kind of started. I visited my sister in Tennessee and I hadn't seen her for a while. And of course, like, you know, my cousin was like one of her like best friends growing up. It's just like, oh my God, I can't believe all of this. And it was so nice spending some time with my sister and her husband and her two puppies. And my sister's like, hey, she had my mom paint her this composition of a raven holding a little scroll with memento mori written on it. You know, remember you'll die. She's like, hey, I'd like you to draw that for me. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I don't want to like upset mom though. Like mom just painted this painting, you know, you want me to like draw this? And I'd brought like a lot of drawing materials with me as I always do. And that's what I did, you know, and I drew it. My sister, I think liked it. And I drew our second one, which was like a dove. And it was sort of like the other part of it, you know. So you have like this kind of darker scene with these like kind of brooding trees and this raven holding this like scroll with this like reminder that like life is short and, you know, you better like figure things out, right? And you better like resolve and like, you know, make amends and, you know, redeem yourself in however way you need to make it. And then you had the dove, and that was sort of like life ongoing. And that one, the Latin, as I use like all these like Latin phrases, that was the light of the world. And sort of like this idea of like redemption and maybe like this like afterlife and like, you know, maybe there's something else. And so I kept doing these birds, though, because I was sad, you know, and like I said, it wasn't just, I mean, there were a lot of things that were happening. I was like questioning a lot of things about myself. I was questioning just a lot, you know, maybe it's like a midlife crisis, but I was like working through some things that were some like interpersonal things. And I got to my cousin's memorial. Now, this is the miracle part, right? And it was like the day of her memorial, because they didn't have it like right away. And it was like, maybe I shouldn't say it was like a memorial. It was like a celebration of life. And it was a very, very cold day. And I'm working on these birds and I'm sad. I'm sad for a lot of reasons, but I'm sad. And I was about halfway through at that point in the series. I was going to do 12 in total. And like a calendar. I was like kind of like debating on which one to start next, you know, like which one am I doing next? And it was the morning of the memorial. We had like went out to like pick up a few things and we came back to my parents' house, and there was a red cardinal that was perched on the railing. And I had a cardinal in mind. It's not like I didn't think of a cardinal, but nothing was like set in stone yet. Like I was just like sketching up like different compositions and having different ideas. And I just like looking at this like cardinal. It was just like such a cold day. It was so cold. It was so gray. Just ice and, you know, no color. You have this like vibrant cardinal sitting on perched on this railing. And I'm like, I tried to get my phone out to take a picture, but it was like one of those things where it's like, I don't want to like miss this moment though, you know, because it's like, I'm going to spend all this time trying to get this started. I'm going to miss this cardinal. And so I just kind of waited, and then the cardinal flew away. But it was really beautiful. And then I was like, that's what I got to do. I got to draw the cardinal now, you know? And then we went to the memorial, and it was nice. Actually, it was nice like talking to everybody. I don't know that you really have like closure always on things, but it felt good like reconnecting. And I felt like I'm like, I need to do this drawing, you know. And so now I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize the significance of cardinals until later. I drew the cardinal, I posted it online. Right. And as I do, because, you know, I like to have that dopamine hit from all the likes and everything, you know, that feedback loop. But like so I posted it, and then all these people started talking about like how it's like represents like the spirit of a loved one, or it's like, you know, someone who maybe just passed, who's like visiting. And I was like, oh, because I didn't know any of that. And I'm like, wow, like looking back, the timing of this thing, right? Like, it's like I was like, one, I was like searching for like, what am I going to draw next? I'm in this mood, this state already. My cousin had passed. We're going to memorial. This cardinal lands. And again, I have like no understanding of the significance of all this, but all those things came together. And then it wasn't until later, it was like revealed to me that, hey, you know, there might have been some symbolism involved with this. You know, maybe this is God like tapping on your shoulder or letting you know something. So I would call that a miraculous thing. Some people would call that like a coincidence, but, you know, I'm going to read into it a little bit.
There is my episode with the incredible Chris Hodge. I hope you loved every second. And I so adore introducing you to some of the incredible human beings that I know in this world. He's such an impeccable storyteller and incredible artist. There will be a link to his website in the episode's show notes, as well as a link to his official Instagram page, so you can check out more of what this splendid human being has been doing in the world. Please do consider leaving a review or writing a little rating. This labor of love of mine, I'm trying to get it to as many people as possible, and those ratings and reviews help other people find it. And do check out the YouTube channel. I wanted people to see my guests in real life, and so there will be a link to the YouTube channel in the episode's show notes. I need to thank Chris for being such a wonderful human being. And then I need to say, thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Chris. Be enchanted with the world. I know we covered a lot in this episode, but what I keep coming back to Chris is his belief in the numinous, his belief in the mystery, his belief in the magic in the world, and that we're all heading somewhere. This is all intentional. This creation has meaning. And guess what? What we create in this world, it has meaning as well. So be like Chris. Have faith in the beauty in the world. And I think pretty soon, or at least I suspect pretty soon, the world will become more beautiful for you as well. See you next week for the very next episode of the podcast. And until then, I hope your life is filled with magic, with mystery, and strangers who ultimately become your friends.